CDH Podcast. I'm Kian, otherwise known as Varlis, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Adam, better known as Poppyphobia.
What's up, everybody?
Today's episode is on everyone's favorite topic, the newest update to the decklist database. Unfortunately for this episode, it's just me and Adam, as everyone else is getting their butts clapped at Dominaria United pre-release. But we will make do for now. But before we get started, I think we have a few triggers to resolve in our upkeep. Right, Adam?
Yeah, thanks, Kian. So to start with, we're going to shout out all of our high-tier patrons. So thank you to Dute, Usable Object, Senator Tom, Cold Ramen, and Domino. The support from everybody has been amazing, and it helps us to continue making these amazing episodes. For those of you that haven't heard, we are sponsoring the Chaos 4 CDH webcam tournament. It's a 100% free and proxy-friendly webcam tournament with almost $1,000 in prize support. The tournament is next Saturday, and our goal is to hit 200 signups. So make sure that you check it out or check out our video all about the tournament. A link for that will be in the description. And finally, don't forget to smash that like button, hit subscribe, and for those of you listening on a podcast platform like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and a rating as it helps us to reach new audiences. And with that, I think we'll go right into our main topic for today. So, for today's topic, we'll be making another installment of the DDB update series. For those of you that don't know what that series is, it's where we go over what decks were added to the main database and the Brewer's Corner, as well as discuss the removal of some decks on both sections and what our thoughts on the DDB are overall. So let's hop right into it. So to begin with this topic, the database managers have released a statement on what direction they hope to take the database in moving forward. And the statement reads as following. The DDB is a showcase of different decks from CDH. The goal of the DDB is to highlight the variety of different decks that exist within that space and to help new players acclimate to CDH concepts and possibilities while also helping established players find inspiration for brewing and playing. The DDB is not a tier list, nor a collection of tournament decks, and should not be considered in any way a list of the best decks in CDH, nor an exhaustive list of decks in CDH. It is a collection of decks that the DDB managers and reviewers believe underscore just some of a variety of options available to players within the world of CDH. So when I read that statement, what it says to me is that they're really trying to bring emphasis to, like, the database is a is based on purely the opinions of the managers and reviewers themselves. And not so much like, this is definitive, what is CDH, you know? Do you kind of get that same vibe, Kian?
Yeah. I also get they're trying to make, like, the DDB almost like EDH rec. Like a combination of, like, all these decks that you can just find in one place. But it's, I think it's definitely, I know we say this every episode. It's not the holy Bible of CDH decks, and I think they address that pretty well there. But it's also like what you were saying, the managers definitely have, you know, some more than enough input in deck choices, if that makes sense.
I think I get what you're saying. I agree with you there, and I definitely think that, like, as much as this statement does kind of show people or give a good introduction to what the database is, I feel like it's not the first thing. Like, people already have preconceived notions of what the database is or how it should be taken into account for things. And mm-hmm. So, like, the statement is great and all, but it doesn't really help people change their opinions if they're already well established.
Yeah.
But it is good to
go ahead.
Go on.
Or understand what, like, how to use the database or what it is.
Yeah, because for a lot of people, they don't know. They might have the resources, but they don't know how to use them properly, right?
Yeah.
And to go in further onto what this statement says, it says that the decks shown on the DDB are looked over by an experienced team of reviewers before getting a final approval to be on the database by the manager team. The following is a list of some of the different items that are taken into account when reviewing. The first is a strategy that can hold its own in a CDH environment. The second is inclusion of all relevant cards for the deck's specific strategy. The third is a chosen commander that enhances the deck's performance overall. Fourth is the ability to relevantly impact the game state in the earliest turns of the game. And finally, the fifth thing that they look for is listed on the approved deck list site. So these are like just a handful of things that kind of culminate what how these decks get chosen or how they get put onto the database. And I think it's important to highlight these things because we were reached out to by a few of the database managers in our last database update that some of the opinions or ideas that we might have portrayed to the public might be incorrect or help cultivate these incorrect ideas in the community, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good to kind of go over what these requirements are, what things that they look for in general, and then kind of dive into the nitty gritty of like what actually happened in this update. So I think to start with, we're going to go to all the new decks that were added to the Brewer's Corner. For those of you that don't know, the Brewer's Corner is where decks go before they get added to the database. Otherwise, it can be where decks go to die because as we've found out over the years, sometimes a deck will never make it past the Brewer's Corner. But it is a good place to showcase where these new ideas and new decks are for people to determine whether or not they are CDH viable.
Rip Yeva.
Well, yeah, with something we'll get into later. But the first deck that got added to the Brewer's Corner and one that we'll be very, very excited to talk about is going to be Armix Timna board control. So Armix
Timna. Who made this deck, Adam? I have no clue.
Me neither. No. So Armix Timna board control is a deck that if you listen to the podcast at all, you should be very familiar with because it is, well, a deck that I brewed. I worked on this deck with Michael Levine. We've worked on it for lots of months together, playtesting it and stuff like that. And the last review cycle, it got denied when it was just me. It was just my submission. Then I brought it to Michael Levine and we worked on it some more. And now it got added to the Brewer's Corner, which is great news. And I think the deck is in a great spot. It's an Orzhov control deck. It utilizes Stax pieces to slow down the board state to a game pace that is up to speed with how fast the deck itself can play. And then it's tries to reanimate a Razaketh onto the battlefield and sacrifice all of its Stax creatures to win the game that turn, basically. And it's really fun, a really different way to play the game, and I think it's a very, very viable CDH deck. So I'm glad to see that it made the BC. Do you have any thoughts on it, Kian?
Good deck.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah.
I have Brewers... to say my dishonest opinions here with Adam watching me.
No, I think that like no, when I look at like some of the lists that made it onto the Brewer's Corner, I think that this is one of the more the
most solid, I feel like.
Yeah, and that's not just my bias as the guy who made the list, right? Like looking at it, I think that there's a few really, really there's a few lists on here that stand out compared to the rest. I think Armix Timna being two seasoned partners that have been around the block already a few times, I think that this is the archetype that really fits them well. And I think that it's a good deck to really get pushed there. Do you want to talk about the next deck?
Sure. The next deck that got added to the Brewer's Corner is Dargo Timna Nahs. Okay. So if you guys have been listening to our previous decklist database entries, especially our last one, we were disappointed and upset and almost threw a fit when I saw that this deck was not on here. Nathan, the Hermit Druid, was hyping this deck up at Command Fest Richmond, and I'm sure for last couple months, so is the Dargo Discord. This deck is pretty gas.com. So it's like Dargo featured with like a bunch of like sack him, play Peer in the Abyss, or reanimate Razaketh, along with like dockside value with just a straightforward Mardu deck with like Breach Lions, yada, yada, yada. Sorry, I'm blanking. I'm reading this stuff.
No worries.
But go ahead.
So like Dab Farm is what the deck is called. And it's just like a super fun turbo all in Mardu deck. And Dargo is like a commander that we had been previously really low on. And now we're really high on. Dargo's like sick. And like the shit that you can do with Dargo is actually kind of insane. And I know that the original Damp Farm list was the Hermit Druid and Cal from Playing With Power. It was like this little combo deck that they had worked on together. And then the current iteration that got added to the Brewer's Corner is a culmination of Connor, Pontus, and Nathan from the Nathan the Hermit Druid's lists kind of all put together, which is really cool. Connor and Pontus are very active in the Dargo Discord. Connor's a real good friend of mine. And seeing this list finally make it on there after getting stomped by Nathan repeatedly playing it is really, really fun. And I think this is another list that, like, on the Brewer's Corner is going to have legs. Like, I hope to see, yeah, I hope to see this list make the database in the next update, because I think it's definitely worth it. The next deck that got added to the Brewer's Corner is Dimir Gale, which is kind of surprising. I know that Gale Waterdeep Prodigy is a commander that a lot of people have been brewing. It's from the Baldur's Gate Commander Legends. It's one of the choose a background commanders. It's really cool. And when you pair it with like Scion of Halaster or any other black background, it makes for a really, really interesting and fun Dimir deck. I think that it is interesting. It comes from an interesting angle because this deck really just seeks to Thoracle Consult at all costs. And that's kind of its main win con. It doesn't do anything really unique outside of that.
It's just like a Dimir mid-range control deck.
Yeah, Gale's ability, it's like whenever you cast an instant or sorcery card from your hand, you may cast another one from your graveyard. So it kind of lets you double cast spells and just like it allows for some unique play patterns that you don't get out of other decks. But it is just kind of like you said, Kia, Dimir mid-range value, Thoracle Consult or Tainted Pact Thoracle. Just jam that win con consistently. It's just different ways to assemble that same win con. One of those deals where, like, if your Thoracle ever gets exiled, you're kind of fucked.
Mm. I feel like also, like, the Dimir archetype has been, like, no matter how many times, like, a new Dimir purse, like, commander gets printed, like, yeah, they may have some unique ability, but it's just, like, the same shit. It's the same shell, but with, like, maybe one or two, like, extra cute cards. So
yeah, that's the downside.
That's just me, though.
Yeah, that's the downside to low color piles is they feel, well, definitely. That's like the downside to CDH, I guess, is decks really can feel samey at a certain point. And unless the commander provides something that's really unique, then it's really hard to build something that's unique. Like when I think of like good, unique low color piles, I think of like, oh, Winota. Winota does something crazy and unique. So that's why it's such a successful low color deck. And you really need to find a niche to make the deck really good in order to explore like those colors further.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you bring up the next deck?
Speaking of Dimir, we have Malcolm Tevish midrange. So already, as you can look at the deck with like Malcolm Tevish trying to go to the mid game, grind out Tevish. Malcolm gets you treasures so you can ramp a little bit. It has Displacer Kitten, which I know has been hot topic since release in the CDH community, but hasn't really found like a home yet. Not really any combos outside of just value Tevish or Narset. Plays Hullbreaker Horror, Thassa's Oracle, you know, Dimir stuff with normal Dimir run of counterspells, yada yada yada. So
yeah, so this deck is it's cool. It's interesting. It's just like, it's another good Dimir list, I would say. Like good stuff Dimir. It's Malcolm out of the command zone is really fun and unique. I think that like Malcolm and Malcolm pirate decks have been really taking the community by storm lately. And I think he's underutilized for sure, or at least has been historically. And Tevis is just a really cool commander out of the command zone. And when you look at like Hullbreaker Horror, and Bolas the Citadel and some of the other pieces that this deck plays, it's mainly just like, you know, value Dimir, good stuff. It's going to try to lock out your opponents with Hullbreaker Horror loops. Bolas the Citadel, draw your deck and just try to jam Thoracle Consult. Mnemonic Betrayal has been an amazing win condition in Demir and Esper decks lately. I think that that's something that's kind of underrated to consider as a win condition card. I know that we've talked about it for a while. Yeah. So, like, I guess, Meme like, Betrayal. it's either Jam Thoracle Consult or just Meme Betrayal and win with someone else's Underworld Breach, right? So there's a lot of cool stuff to do here. It's on Necropotent. It's on Doomsday. It's just on
Demir. They aren't on top, by the way, so they can't draw the deck with Bolas.
Yeah, in theory, you can. I'm sure you can find a way to do it with Hullbreaker Loops and Infinite Mana and shit like that, but I guess, yeah, you cannot manipulate the top of your deck with top, so that is something to look into, but very much just like Demir, good stuff, Adnaz, all this other kind of stuff.
Oh, it's so, Flick Tevish with Kitten and Hullbreaker and draw your deck.
There you go. So, damn. Cool stuff like that. It's very interesting. So, you know, this is a deck that I don't know if we'll see it perform at the higher levels. Like, that's the hard part,
I don't
right?
think but so.
Like, yeah, to get upgraded out of the main DDD, it's DDB. It's gotta really perform at that higher level. And Demir, there's a lot of competition in the Demir color scheme for like slots on the database. So, hopefully, you know, over time it can prove itself. Next, to make the Brewer's Corner is Rionya Infinite Combats. So we kind of have a history with Rionya on this channel because when we first did our first DDV episode, Rionya was removed. And we were kind of like, Rionya is bad. Like, we don't really care about it. And we didn't really know.
Godo, who cares?
Yeah. We didn't really know a whole lot about the list. And Faded actually reached out to us and was like, you guys just shat on my deck for 15 minutes and like never really gave it a chance, and I feel like you didn't know what it was about. And so after like doing some more research and learning about it, Rionya is actually like really cool and really unique for a mono red deck, and it offers some really unique combos out of the command zone with things like Combat Celebrant. Now you have Professional Facebreaker and a lot of these other like combat tricks type of cards, and like Dual Caster Twin Flame. It runs Godo in the 99. You can do like Underworld Breach stuff with Burgee. Like, there's a lot of really cool options for this list that allowed this deck to be a lot more than just your standard mono red deck. Mm-hmm. Which I think that originally we underrated it, undervalued quite a bit.
Agreed. I don't think we really looked into this too much either. We were just like, this looks okay.
Yeah. And I'm glad that it's back on the Brewer's Corner, because I think that, like, if you are going to...
It's unique for mono red.
Yes, it's very unique for mono red. I mean, like, it wins... Its main win con is through combat, which is not unique for mono red. But the way it gets there and its assemble, yeah, its assembly is really good. And I think that Rionya is actually very viable. I know Faded's been all over, like, jamming this deck wherever they can get a chance and, like, just to prove its worth to people, which I think is very valuable. Why don't you go...
All right, so the next one, Oscar, he has two lists on the Brewer's Corner. One is going to be the mid-range, and one is going to be like the Necro discard combo. The mid-range list is on Divining Witch, Thoracle, another Demir good stuff. So I don't think there's much to be said about this list in particular.
I mean, Oscar's cool. Oscar's really, really hard to play. It's all about like discard. So Oscar reads like, the spell costs one less to cast for each different mana value among cards in your graveyard. Whenever you discard a non-land card, you may cast it from your graveyard. So the deck really cares about like discarding cards and then casting cards. And the way that priority works on the discards, you have like a trigger every time you discard a card. So every single discard, you have a trigger, and you have to resolve the triggers in the correct order and cast the spells in the correct order, which means you have to discard them in the correct order in order to utilize the combo. Yeah. So it can be like really complicated and really convoluted. And I think it's fun. I don't think it's very inviting to new players, and I don't think that it's very viable, right? Like,
I don't this kind of so goes, either.
Yeah, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with like Tevish and Malcolm, or like the other Demir list. Like, Demir is just so good. You have so many things to compete with, and like cutesy combos sometimes aren't the best way to do it. And it's like, oh, this does the same combo as every other Demir list, but you get there really cute, and it's kind of like, you know, what is that? What does that do for you?
I don't know. Nothing. I feel like the Necro combo is kind of cool though. It's like that's the second list, which I feel is a lot better than the first one, the mid range version, because you have the thing to be like, all right, Necro down to 33, win the game now.
Yeah, like so. The way to be able to, I think that that's, I think that is really cool. Actually, I'm looking, both lists are on Necropotence. Like, Necropotence seems like the best way to win the game in that deck, right? Like, I'm just going to Necro, sure, drop everything and go for it, which I think is really fun, but it's definitely like, it's hard, right? Like, I think, like, I wouldn't want to play that list. It seems too difficult. And I think that that'll turn off a lot of players to it, especially like, because like, you're going to get a lot of GRVs when you're testing this list out or playing it. And like, some people don't like a list that kind of forces them to make mistakes. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But I do like Oscar, and I'm glad to see it on the Brewer's Corner. The next list that we've got is Nalia, which is a new commander from the Baldur's Gate commander decks, actually, from the pre-cons. She's an Orzhov commander, and this is she cares about party, which is a new mechanic that has been added for Baldur's Gate, and it's pretty cool. It's like a stacks deck that likes to cast party members off the top of your library and utilizes party members to like pump your team. And it's basically a combat deck. Like, you win through combat. Think of like win con list stacks, but you're going to pump your team to the point where it is a combo, essentially. Mm. I think Nalia is viable. I really like Nalia as a commander. I think that this list isn't the most ideal way to be playing Nalia. I don't know if you would agree with me there, but like, we have a player in our play group that plays Nalia, and it's on like artifact hate, like Null Rod and Stony Silence and all these different type of artifact hate pieces. And I think that if you're going to play a win conless stacks deck or a combat based stacks deck, you kind of need to be playing certain hate pieces that really shut down the rest of the table. And I think by excluding those pieces specifically in this instance is really a detriment to the list.
Yeah. I mean, they have Karn, but I feel like you need to put the other two in there, Stony Silence and Null Rod. And I know, yeah. I know we were members in our Discord were talking about it, but the Uvamast Dranith Lock is just too slow, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think that if you don't have an actual combo in the deck that's trying to win the game, just trying to lock out your opponents and assemble something and tutor for these like value pieces, for one, your opponents are going to be able to see it coming, and two, if it doesn't inherently win you the game, it's not the best thing to be doing. And yeah, there are some like cute combos in the deck, like the Chain of Smog stuff, but
yeah, with Professor Onyx,
yeah. So the next deck that got added to the Brewer's Corner is just like clicking on the same deck that we just looked at, is Neera midrange deck. So Neera is another new commander from the Baldur's Gate precons, and her ability says whenever you cast a spell, you may put it on the bottom of its owner's library. If you do, reveal cards from the top of your library and you reveal a non-land card, and you may cast that card without paying its mana cost. Then put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So it's just like, value is it? But it's basically like every other is it deck that you'll ever see.
Yeah.
I mean, Neera herself is 6 mana, so she's very hard to get out of the command zone. Requires you to play a lot of ramp and fast mana to get her out in the first place. And then it runs a lot of huge, huge spells, because the idea is like, oh, I'm going to just flip into this spell and I can cast it off the top of my library without paying its mana cost. The downside to that is being that your commander costs 6 mana. So you have to get to 6 mana before you can cast that spell. And if you, your mulligans and the cards you're drawing off the top are sometimes 7 or more mana. So it's like, it's like a very fun deck, but man, is it hard to get the stuff to go, you know?
At least they're not on Adnos.
Yeah. But a 6 mana commander is just too tough, in my opinion. I think that this deck is like really, really fun, but it almost, like, not to insult the list makers at all, but it almost feels like it's like this is like almost like a casual deck, right? Where it's like, oh, my commander does this really fun thing, and it free casts stuff off the top. So I'm going to put a bunch of really large CMC stuff on the top of my library or in my deck, because when I flip into them, it's going to be crazy, right? And like some of those pieces are really good, right? So like Niv-Mizzet wins a game very easily with like curiosity effects and things like that. It's like is it staple, right? And then like Enter the Infinite. If you cast Enter the Infinite, you're almost guaranteed to win the game. But then stuff like Seagate Restoration, right? Like that's just like, okay, it's like a wheel, but you draw every, like, it. Yeah. It's just,
it's not
like,
bad though. It's also a land.
No, but it's just like these cards don't inherently win you the game, right?
True. And I think like, for a 6 drop in Izzet, like, not to be the trope, but Niv-Mizzet is like, you know, it's probably going to resolve. It's such a house of a card regardless. Like, that's why it's in the people's 99s. It just being on the field, like, oh, draw a card. All right, I'll ping this. Oh, you casted something. All right, I'll ping this and then I'll draw. Ping this and I'll draw. It just being out is so impactful. Like, game state-wise, just so impactful.
Well, and then, like, you're on all the artifact fast mana, but you're on none of the red rituals. You're on nothing that helps you ramp into Nira early, so besides your artifact mana. So if you don't have Nira, the deck is, in my opinion, infinitely harder to play because all your game-changing spells are 7 or more mana. So
And then she also has a kitten variant as well.
Yeah, which is probably, I think, a little bit more viable. If you run some more lower CMC creature combos, I think that can lead to a little bit of an easier time to pilot. But that's not to say that the deck isn't viable in any way. I think there are some notable combos that might be missing, too. Like, when you consider, like, Dual Caster, Twin Flame, and Izzet, and, like, the viability of that, and being able to, like, Imprecutor your Dual Caster and all these other things. Like, especially if you're on Kitten combo, like, trying to get your Displacer Kitten out early. Like, there's a few pieces that I think could help the deck a little bit, but it's definitely interesting. Like, Nira is really fun looking. I do say, like, I am enticed to want to play the deck. And then why don't you talk about Mizzix?
Mizzix. Is it just fantasy? It's the deck name. Mizzix. So whenever you cast an instant or sorcery with converted mana cost greater than the number of experience counters you have, you get an experience counter. So it's the commander 2015 experience counter stuff, and then instant sorcery spells you cast cost 1 colorless less for each experience counter you have. So it's just cast a bunch of colorless and like a pip or two spells and try to get that experience up and cast big dumb spells. Kind of like the first list of Nira. Cast big dumb spells with buyback, I think is the goal.
Yeah, so I think that this list is a little bit different than the traditional Mizzix list that you'd see because it actually doesn't run too many overcosted spells.
No, it runs the ones that are really good.
Yeah, and the rest of it is very low to the ground, which is a nice thing to see. And it has like Underworld Breach combos in it and a lot of these spells that are really off meta because a lot of spells that you'll see in this list are spells that people wouldn't consider like worth it to play in CDH. So like you got some interesting stuff like Bond of Insight, Mizzix Mastery, Mystic Retrieval, Past in Flames, right? These four CMC spells, Tezzeret's Gambit, Inspired Tinkering. These are all spells that you wouldn't normally see in a CDH deck. But because of Mizzix's ability, it makes it a lot easier to get those spells off. And then once you get these experience counters to build up, these spells cost almost nothing. And Mizzix, I don't think, falls into the same problem as Mira because it's only four CMC. So for one, it's a commander that's a Jeweled Lotus and a land away from cast. You can get this commander out turn one pretty easily and then start going through your game plan. So I like Mizzix. Mizzix is a bit of a boomer card for CDH. I remember like a lot of friends that we have were playing it, you know, for a while way back in the day. So it's nice to kind of see like older commanders or partner pairings kind of show up again and people try to brew them in different ways with the modern day cards that exist now.
You want to talk about Food Chain?
Yeah, so Old Rustine Food Chain is the next deck that we have up on our thing. But we don't have the list for it, do we?
Uh-oh.
Who set this up? It's okay. Luckily, it's right on the Brewer's Corner. But Old Rustine Food Chain. I haven't actually seen this commander before. So Old Rustine is from Crimson Vow, and whenever Old Rustine enters the battlefield or at the beginning of your upkeep, you mill a card. If a land card is milled this way, you create a treasure token. And if a creature card is milled this way, you create a 1/1 green insect creature token. And if a non-creature non-land card is milled this way, you create a blood token. So this is like very, very interesting because you're basically just trying to flicker Old Rustine and basically sack everything for mana with Food Chain. Am I correct in my assessment here?
Seems right.
Yeah. Gets like Food Chain lines to get you infinite Rustine casts and ETBs, which make infinite mana, infinite 1/1 insects, and the ability to draw your whole deck. And then you can also just try to combo with Gnaw's Peer into the Abyss and Bolas's Citadel. So it's pretty cool, pretty fun. I think that these, what is this color pairing? Golgari. I think Golgari decks, like, they're very linear. It's tough to say that. Any two-color deck is linear, right? There's, like, only so much you can do in each color pairing. Mm-hmm. So, like, it seems like there's, like, a lot of the same combos in these Golgari decks. I think Old Rustine is kind of funny. But it's a commander that I don't know if it's better than the existing Golgari decks that exist, right? Like, when you consider, like, Grist and Gitrog and Hepatra and Old Stickfingers, like, I'd like to play this deck and see how it plays at a table. But it seems like food chain decks in general just seem to underperform lately. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I'm just not high on food chain as a combo anymore.
Neither am I. I feel like I've known that though. Like food chain's been kind of shifting, like outer meadow. It's kind of too slow, and it requires too many pieces. But it does still win games. It's still a good, you know, combo.
It's still a good CDH card. Yeah, just think as the meta is shifting, it's just not getting there for a lot of people. So the next list to make this is totally, Ardent Rog, totally not Godo.
So this is a.
Go on.
All right, so this is a Boros. I was gonna say Borzov. So this is a Boros polymorph deck that gets Godo into play and wins through Helm. So it's. Buddy. You play Ardent, and then you play, like, Transmortify. Hey,
buddy, we talked about this deck on the last update.
Yeah, it's still here.
Yeah, that's... we messed up when we were making this list. So they, in the change logs, they did all the decks that were here that are new to this update only. So, like, after Old Rustine, it's Oscar. After Oscar, it's Rafine. Yeah, because like Arden Godo, we already discussed last time. Falco Sparrow was last time. So then we can go into Tivit. Let's start with Tivit.
as you can see, guys, we're very well prepared for this episode.
This update happened literally today, and we were like, we got to make an episode on it because we're always the first ones to talk about the DDP update.
It's midnight, by the way, here right now. So,
why don't you explain what Tivit does?
So Tivit is it's 6 mana, 3 Esper, Flying Ward 3, Council's Dilemma. So when he ETBs or deals combat damage to a player, it starts vote. For each player that votes evidence, they get a clue, or the Tivit player, Tivit controller gets a clue, and for bribery, they get a treasure. And then while voting, you can vote an additional time, so you get 2 treasures or 2 clues, and it's a time sieve deck. So whenever you move to combat, you'll get 5 artifacts that you can sack to take another combat. I think it's a pretty cool deck. I played against it Monday. He drew a lot of cards, but not as much as Timna Crown, baby.
No, I think Timna... I think Tivit is actually, like, pretty good. I think for what it, like, is as a commander, it does something really, really unique. And I think it's very, very viable to the strategy. You basically just play Esper mid-range for the majority of the game. Then you slam Tivit. Once Tivit enters the battlefield, you get your 5 artifacts, and then you try to time sieve. So I think it's, like, really interesting and really cool and a fun way to try to win the game. And it's very surprising because, like, they just, like I said, they just play Esper mid-range throughout the entirety of the game. Then, you know, you kind of are focused on the game and what happens. You don't want to counter the Tivit because why would you counter the Tivit, right? And then it hits the battlefield. They get 5 artifacts no matter what. They're getting value out of their commander. And then Time Sieve will just come out of nowhere and surprise you. So I think it's actually like a very fun and viable list. I think Esper is getting a lot more time or a lot more attention lately from Brewers. And so it's fun to see a Tivit list or another Esper list make the Brewers corner.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Esper, I want to talk about Rafine.
Yeah. So Rafine is a commander that a lot of people have been trying to brew for since it came out in New Capenna. Whenever you attack, target attacking creature connives X, where X is the number of attacking creatures you control. And then connive means you draw X cards and then discard X cards. Put a +1/+1 counter on that creature for each non-land card you discard this way. So basically think of like how Ledger Shredder triggers, but it's a trigger that you create when attacking. And it's just like Esper Reanimator. So looks to reanimate Razaketh and then win the game through like Thassa's Oracle, Demonic Consultation. And like, I think... just like different reanimator effects and ways to win the game through that. So Rafine is really cool. And I think it's just like a fun way to attempt to win the game. And then it also runs Doomsday Piles. So you're just basically looting through your deck till you hit the 1-card win condition that you need. While you're looting, you loot Razaketh into the bin. And then you reanimate Razaketh and try to win the game. So... I don't know. I think it's really, really fun for Esper. And Rafine, I think, is a fun commander out of the command zone and leads to some really interesting lines and game actions that you're not used to seeing at a table.
Yeah. If Ledger Shredder has proven anything to us, is that Connive is a good mechanic. Card selection is always pretty good. Moving on to another 3-color pair. Jessica Thrasios. So this is a mid-range dockside loop-oriented deck with dockside teamer, Sabretooth, or like they are not on Cloudstone Curio. Thrasios, Jessica, mid-range lists, Seedborn for value. I think this list looks pretty solid. Thrasios is pretty strong.
Yeah, I think
Jeff is strong too.
Yeah, we've talked like a lot about how we think Jessica out of the command zone is like really good. specifically because it creates like a lot of easier combos for decks that normally would have to look for more pieces out of the command zone. Having an infinite outlet in the command zone like Jessica makes things easier. And this deck specifically, between Thrasios and Jessica, creates a ton of infinite outlets, right? Like if you make infinite mana and it's colored mana, you can just draw your deck, or you can ping the entire table and kill them. So yep. It's a safer way to win the game because drawing your deck, if you have force draw or someone else can force you to draw, can lead to you losing the game in unsuspected ways. So Jessica allows for a safer combo out of the command zone. I don't think that you want to have both of these as your commanders, though, unless you're utilizing Jessica as removal out of the command zone, because having two outlets in the command zone doesn't really benefit you. So I would assume that this deck really hinges on Jessica's minus ability to kind of remove stacks, pieces, or other things from the game that can really straddle a Thrasios deck. So
it's also a win con that, too, because you can't win with all. I mean, through Breach or Brain Freeze, but once you draw your deck, you don't have a way to win besides Jessica. But I agree with you.
And in a deck like, this deck isn't running Thassa's Oracle, right? So, like, drawing your deck doesn't win you the game. So I guess, like, it makes sense to want to win with Jessica rather than Thrasios. Use Thrasios' card advantage and use Jessica as your win condition. Mm-hmm. So I guess that makes sense when you see it like that. And that's it, really, for the new decks that were added to the database this time around, or at least to the Brewer's Corner. You know, before we move on, I'll obviously show, like, make sure that you guys check out Timna Armix, because that deck is pretty sweet, and give it some reviews on the database to ensure that it gets added to the main DDB. But besides the Brewer's Corner's list, there were a few decks that were previously on the Brewer's Corner that got added to the main database. So these were the decks that people reviewed, that the reviewers checked out, and people thought, hey, these lists are actually viable, and these deserve to be represented on the database. So the first one, obviously, is Cormela Turbonaz. We talked about Cormela previously. It's a really cool deck that allows you to pay a mana to add three, but only spend it on instant or sorcery spells, and allows you to basically slam Cormela. If you have an extra mana available after your Gnaws, you activate Cormela, you cast some instants or sorceries or ritual off, and just win the game through a variety of different combos, whether that be dual caster, twin flame, Thassa's Oracle. Just think of any good Grixis combo. So This was a deck that we thought would be very, very viable. We argued about it for a while, and here we go. It's on the database now.
Yep. I don't think there's any question that this was a good deck.
No, I agree. I think that it's pretty obvious, like, what decks are good and what decks aren't as soon as they get added to the BC, and you can really tell which ones stand out just by looking at what they do or what the lists are.
Mm-hmm. Right. Next one is Dargo Ikra. So this is a Jun Dargo list with Razaketh, Breach Lines. I think we've been pretty high on Dargo, and I think just the Jun iteration brings a lot of, like, green power to it. So, like, Life and Death with Razaketh, Mana Ramp without artifacts through Dorks, Protection, Creature Tutors. Overall, I think this is pretty strong. Not surprised. I think we also caught that on the last episode as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really cool deck. Pirate Blender is actually made by my friends Connor and Gustav. It's a really, really fun list that utilizes Dargo actually in, like, interesting ways to try to draw their deck. So you can basically, like, assemble a win con by using, like, infinite Dargo cast to create infinite mana to draw your deck and then go from there. And it's also like a turbo list, so you can see it running like Turbo Raza, or it'll try to get into Pier.
just like a really yada yada.
Ad nauseum. It's just a really fun way to try to play the game. And this is a deck that was for a while like underrepresented or underlooked at, I guess would be the term, and is definitely deserving of a place.
I think that would be just all Dargo decks, I feel, for like the longest time. Like, yes. It's a seven. It's like a seven mana, whatever. Who cares, dude? We're trying to play Timna out here. Timna only. Fuck seven mana.
Yeah, that's how I feel like a lot of people felt for a while. But the ability to like sacrifice artifacts and stuff for him just makes it buku nuts. Yeah. The next list that got upgraded was Evelynn, Worldgorger Dragon. Same thing that we kind of talked about with Cormella. It's a Grixis deck, uses Worldgorger Dragon loops, which are kind of niche and fun, but this is a very viable way to do so. A lot of these Grixis commanders, whenever you see them come out, if they have more than two lines of text, they're probably broken. They're
probably good.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like that just happens to be the case with Evelynn. And doing something unique like Worldgorger Dragon really helped this list get added to the main DDB, I believe. Yep. Because like, I mean, how many viable Worldgorger Dragon lists are there? Well, we'll learn later on that some of the lists that did utilize Worldgorger Dragon are no longer on the DDB. So having a new viable Worldgorger list is really cool, and I think Evelynn is definitely that list.
Agreed. I don't think we'd have much, or I'll have much to add to this. I think this its uniqueness made it get added. Yeah. Moving on to Silas Crark. So, for those of you that watch Tier 1 Con, Ken Bauman took it down with Crark Sakashima. So, everybody's been hyping up on the Crark train. And I don't blame them. Crark is pretty good. The ability to copy spells, go off like a Stormkill artist, pretty powerful. Add Grixis to the mix with double casting a Demonic Tutor or Dark Ritual. You know, there's a bunch of shit that he can copy. Overall, I think this list is pretty solid. No surprise that it got added as well.
Yeah, it's funny to think that with like a Jeweled Lotus and a land, you can Jeweled Lotus into Crark. Then with a black producing land, cast a Dark Ritual, copy it, and then add Nos. Yeah. Like there's like just tons of funny shit that you can do with
and Clark. Then you lose your flip on add Nos and feel sad.
Yeah, doubling your add Nos wouldn't be that great either, to be fair. But like it's a cool way to play the game. And Clark living by the coin and dying by the coin is a really funny way to play Grixis, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't run a ton of doublers. It runs a lot of, it doesn't run, I think, really any Clark doublers as much as it runs like trigger doublers and things like that. Like it still runs Harmonic Prodigy, still runs Veyran, Stormkill and Artist and Burgi, like Tavern Scoundrel, all these things that really like help your synergies with coin flips, but don't hinge on it. Mm-hmm. Which I think makes for a really interesting list. So Silas Crark is cool to see some representation on the database.
Yeah.
Another deck that got upgraded to the main database is Najeela Stax. I mean, awesome. Najeela is a good commander. She's slowly been working her way up as probably unanimously the best commander in CDH, one of the best decks. I think there's an honest debate now between Najeela and Blue Farm. And yeah, playing Stax, great. Najeela wins through Stax like butter. So why not play it, right? So it's one of those things where like we may not seem too excited talking about it. That's just because like some of these lists are kind of boring, right? Like Najeela is a kind of boring commander. Like she wins with Derevi, she wins on her own, she wins with Grim Hireling, and she wins through combat. Like yep. There's not a whole lot of ways around it, and it's just about how do you get there. So I think it's cool to see a deck playing Stax pieces. It's not playing like tons of Stax pieces, right? It's playing creatures based Stax. It's not like, well, I guess it's on, yeah, Ula, it's besides
Stony Silence,
Deafening Silence, it's on like the best Stax pieces in the yep. game, right?
Yep. Which and
that's what
be.
Makes it yeah which that's what makes it a Stax deck.
Yep. So, this was actually, if you guys watched my top 10 video, this was actually in my number 3 slot, this list. do the stacks.
That's why your list sucks. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I think it is a good deck. It's just like, it's another five color good stuff Najeelo pile. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it just utilizes a slightly different strategy because Najeelo already does really well through a strategy that's similar to this.
It does its thing.
Yeah.
The next one is an oldie but a goodie. Breakfast Hulk. TNT, the ye olde classic. You guys remember the Flash days? Well, it's back, but without Flash, so it's less flashy. But Breakfast Hulk is back on the DDB site with upgrades. Breakfast Hulk is only running one, just the Cephalid Illusionist and Nomads in Core. No other Breakfast loops. I know for a time, Aphelion was... Or like the people that were making this were experimenting with other ways to breakfast out Thoracle. Then they're like, no, OG breakfast, just the best. So, I don't know. Solid deck, I feel.
TNT, Hulk decks, I mean, they've been historically well-placed for a while. So this one is really cool. It's got some really cool brewers attached to it. You have Mimo, Jamaican Dude, Aphelion, and Turtle Pod, like all well-respected members of the community that have worked on this list for a while. So it's really cool to see it make it, you know, onto the main database. And then the final list to get upgraded to the database is Thrasios Vial Smasher Reanimator by Phyrexian Tutor. I know Phyrexian Tutor has been really active in the Razaketh Discord, really pushing for this list in general. Thrasios Vial Smasher is a really cool commander pairing. I'm a big fan of Thrasios Vial Hermit Druid, but seeing it kind of utilized in a different... Seeing the commander pair utilized in a different way is really interesting, specifically in the Reanimator style decks. I mean, it's cool to see Razaketh being... abused for just being a broken card, right? Like, let me just animate dead my Razaketh and Thoracle Consult on these losers. So
pretty
it's
good.
Just like, yeah, it's pretty efficient. I think that you'll see that, like, lately Reanimator type strategies aren't the best or aren't suited in the best light, specifically with cards like Dalthy Voidwalker and Dranith Magistrate, or like just Graveyard Hate in general, like Rest in Peace being more playable. You'll find these strategies to tend to be a little bit weaker, but I am still a big fan of them, so it's nice to see that get some representation.
Yeah, I'm also glad that this archetype, color pairing Thrasios Vial Smasher is getting like more, it's getting more explored, because originally it was just like Curious Control. And that was the only thing that people were experimenting with for the longest time.
Yeah, and... which I think that it's nice to see. Like, this is kind of what I alluded to earlier. We'll see, like, older tried and true commanders or commander pairings getting thought of in new light or with new strategies.
Yeah.
With that being said, those were all the decks that were upgraded to the DDB that were previously on the Brewer's Corner. Yep. The next section are decks that are completely new to the DDB. So these decks never saw the Brewer's Corner. They may have other decks that have that are already on the database, and these are slightly similar strategies. Otherwise, they are just decks that like the reviewers or managers looked at and said, this deck is too good to not be on the database. So to start with, we have Timna Kodama Stacks. Timna Kodama is an interesting color pairing because it allows you to like cheat things into play with Kodama's ability, which lets you play through stacks in a really, really fun and interesting way. Historically, Timna Kodama has been a Protean Hulk deck, but lately people have been off of those combos just a little bit. So the combo with this deck seeks to utilize Abdel Adrian and Animate Dead to ping the table down with Corpse Knight, which is actually like really, really fun and really cool. Otherwise, it reanimates Vilis or Razaketh to try to sculpt your hand and win on the spot a lot easier, which is interesting to see because it'll utilize Razaketh, but not to win on the spot, but to try to sculpt a hand good enough to win on the subsequent turns, which is really fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I know the old version, I know, was or at least some spicy tech, or not tech, but a spicy version of this list was Sidisi, Undead Vizier. You exploit it, you create the Kodama trigger, you get Hulk options out, so you get like the Leona Relic Order loops or like Saffy loops with a Corpse Knight, all using Kodama's ability, so you're not casting anything. So yeah. Next one is back on the database, Heliod 2 Sunshine Boogaloo. So we missed the EOL classic Heliod list, Heliod Sun Crown Ballista. So this is a mono white stacks deck. Which, when is mono white not a stacks deck?
Well, so this deck was previously already on the database.
Yeah, it got re-added.
Yeah, it got removed, and so they, for not being updated timely, so in a timely manner, I should say. So the people that brewed the list from the Mono White Discord all got back together and said, well, let's update it and resubmit it. So that's what Heliod 2 Sunshine Boogaloo is. It's just kind of a re-entry of an already existing list.
Yeah.
Next up that got added to the main database is Grenzo Doomsday. This is another list that was already on the database and got re-added simply because it wasn't updated. I think you're going to see a lot of this lately with more lists as they come out or get added to the new entries, is that as not the database updated. As it gets more and more strict, they're going to start removing like lists for not staying up to date. And then you're going to see a lot of resubmissions or people that are submitting already well-established lists and being like, oh shit, I didn't think my list would get removed for not updating it, you know, yada, yada, yada. So a lot of the time now you're going to see a lot of these lists get re-added. Grenzo Doomsday, it's a classic. Grenzo is a really fun commander. And, you know, Doomsday is a tried and true strategy and a good way to win the game.
Mm. I'm never impressed with Grenzo. Whenever I see someone play it, they like put a ton of Grenzo. They Grenzo a lot. It's like, okay, what did that get you? Actually, I don't know. That's just me. You have something to say, or I'm gonna move on to.
No, keep moving on.
All right, so. This was on the Brewer's Corner, got moved to the actual database, is Chain of Frog. So it's a Get Rog list that isn't really a mid-range list, but more of a turbo list. So it utilizes Peer in the Abyss more, Ad Nauz, and like the Witherbloom Chain of Smog. They actually cut Razaketh from this list. So they changed it from the last time. So,
yeah, I think that this leans much more heavily now into trying to Turbo Nauz out. Basically, Turbo Nauz, yeah. Draw your deck, and then win with Witherbloom Apprentice and Chain of Smog.
Yeah.
I believe if you look correctly, the list is also on Tainted Pact Praetor's Grasp.
Yep.
So Praetor's Grasp, your opponent's Thoracle with a Tainted Pact mana base, cast a Tainted Pact and win the game. Just a lot of different ways to try to win the game. It does have some good mid-range pieces as well. Like it is on Collector Oof and some of those more historically good like mid-range frog pieces. It also like leans into Priest of Titania and some other cool pieces. So like there's a lot of different ways this deck can win the game. And with Dakmor, Dredge still, you know, all the good stuff that Gitrog can do normally, but tries to combo out with more than just Dredge combo, which I think is really good for a list like this.
Mm.
So I'm glad to see that list get on there. Another list that got updated. So this is a little confusing, sorry, because it's Pirate Blender, the Dargo Icarus list, which we already went over in the Brewer's Corner. But the last list that got upgraded straight to the DDB as a new entry is Yidris Storm. So Yidris is a little bit of an older commander. It's one of the original like four color commanders back in the when the partner decks came out. These were the face commanders, right? This is whenever Yidris Maelstrom Wielder deals combat damage to a player, as you cast spells from your hand this turn, they gain Cascade. So really, really fun way to kind of try to chain spells together. It is kind of just like a four-color good stuff list that doesn't really utilize, as far as my knowledge goes, not anything like... It doesn't hinge on Yidris's ability, right? It's a four-color good stuff deck that can utilize Yidris to cascade into some very fun types of spells. But other than that, it's just what you'll see from... It's not much different than you'll see from like a Thrasios Vial Smasher, you know, ad nauseum list.
Yeah. And
at least that's the impressions that I'm getting from it.
Yeah. And I will note that Yidris has to deal combat damage to them for all the spells to gain Cascade, but she does have, or they do have Trample, so.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to see a Yidris deck make the database, because I don't think of Yidris as a historically powerful commander.
She used to, like, or they used to be played, at least played more often. I would see them, like a board game, a lot of people would play Yidris.
Yeah, the like local scenes definitely lead to different types of play styles, though. And there's a lot of pieces in here that are pretty interesting, like Rushing River, Song of Creation. Just interesting cards that you don't see played in a lot of other lists, right? So, but yeah, it's cool to see Yidris make it onto the database. I think that that's a deck that you don't see very often or a lot. So very cool and interesting to see. But other than that, that does it for all of the new lists to the database. So whether that be to the Brewer's Corner, to the main database, new entries or upgraded entries. So before we move on to the things that got removed, I think, Kian, you want to go into... what you like to go into.
Yo, classic. Moving on to the best segment of the show, Flavor Text of the Week. For those of you who don't know by now what this... sorry to new viewers. or don't know what the segment is. It is where I, Kian, try to stump the cast. So just Adam today on the podcast of a Flavor Text from Magic's History. And I'll also be trying to stump you. For our audience, please... have your answers ready and put them with spoiler text in the Discord. And yeah. So the flavor text that I will be giving Adam will be: Pozo's heart was full of courage right up until it was full of elven steel.
Say that again.
Pozo's heart was full of courage right up until it was full of elven steel.
Right up until it was full of elven steel. So I'm going to assume this is a green card. Am I correct?
No, not correct.
You have to give me like every hint possible because I'm by myself today. So it's not a green card. Right before it was fit with elven steel. Is it a sword?
No. I'll give you a hint. What were we talking about earlier?
Dex.
Yeah.
What were we talking about earlier?
Yeah.
I don't know what we were... What do you mean? We talked about 100 things earlier.
They cost $90.
Oh, that's the card you picked? Is it this stupid...
Kobold? It's not. It's a different one.
It's a different card that costs $90?
No. This one costs like 2 cents, I think. 25.
Oh, so wait. So why did you just lead me down that path?
Because it's the same. Kobold. It's a little boy.
It's a kobold.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it the flavor text on Rograk?
No.
Are you just going against the grain here? Because I thought all these cards were supposed to be CDH playable.
It is CDH playable.
A CEDH playable.
Okay, maybe this one isn't CDH playable, but so the one I will be giving to the audience will be CDH playable.
Okay, so now we're just switching it up. So what is it? It's one of the Legends Kobolds?
No, it's a Baldur's Gate Kobold.
Oh, so is it that? Okay, so it's that new Kobold that I just mentioned before we started recording that I'm not going to remember the fucking name of.
Yes.
Man. I'm going to have to look it up. I don't even remember what the name of that card was. So why don't you just tell me what it is?
Taunting Kobold. Kobold.
Taunting Kobold, yeah. Thanks a lot for giving me a non-CDH playable card for
not a problem.
First ever episode alone.
You know I had to do it to him.
Yeah, and I'm not allowed to use Scryfall, which is totally unfair.
Haha. Haha. All right, so the casts... Or not the cast. The audiences thing. So, get your keyboards or get your Scryfall app ready to go. You guys ready? All right. She wept. Not for the perfect understanding, but from serene gratitude. I'll say it again. She wept. Not from perfect understanding, but from serene gratitude. So... If you guys are good spellers, you guys should be able to get that real fast. Comment that in our Discord. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I got. CDH playable card. Fringe.
So, now that we went through everything that was added to the database, we now have all the decks that were removed from the Brewer's Corner. So we're going to move through these kind of fast because these are decks that... were either asked to be removed by the authors of the list themselves, or these were removed for not being viable. So I'll start with the two lists that were asked to be removed by the authors themselves. Now, unfortunately, I don't have the authors of these lists, so I can't make a reference to why they wanted their list removed, but we can make some pretty good assumptions later on in the episode about why that is. But the two decks that were asked to be removed from the Brewer's Corners by the author were Armix Thrasios and Thrasios File Smasher Hermitdruid. Two lists that I think were very actually viable and like probably very close to getting added to the main DDB itself. So it's interesting to see that these authors asked them to be removed from the database in general. Yeah. Usually it's because of something like the publicity, they don't like the messages, personal issues, or, you know, sometimes it's an issue they might have with the database itself. But unfortunately, those two lists were removed from the database. Another list that I'll touch on personally, because I have talked to the author about it, is the Timna Armix list that was originally on the database before my list was added to the Brewer's Corner. And that was the Armix Timna Turbonaz deck. And we touched on it a little bit in our last episode, but it's a deck that plays really well, but I think doesn't hit all the marks for what the commander pair is trying to do, and it doesn't really utilize them to the best of its ability. The author of that list was Vasher. Vasher's a really good friend of ours and a really great brewer and has a lot of decks that exist on the database itself. And through talking with him, we kind of discussed how that list was more so a way to show what the archetype or pairing was, and that a list like maybe Michael and I's might be a better representation of what that commander pair is trying to do. So those are some of the decks that I have a lot of experience with. Kian, do you want to go through some of the other decks that were removed?
Jun Jessica. So... Ekrid Jessica, which is like a turbo breach slash turbo gnaw strategy, trying to utilize infinite mana combos to win through an outlet. So with Jessica, Yeva, do we rip Yeva? Rest in peace.
Well, let's talk about Yeva last.
Okay, it's gonna shoot down all my glory of talking well, about well, yet.
I think we have we can have a long discussion about Yeba, so we'll probably get to that one last.
I think you want to talk about that. Tana, Tevish, Hulk, classic Jun Hulk deck. I don't know. I personally didn't even look at the list for this. I don't know if the author wanted it down or they're just like, nah, didn't make the cut, which I feel like Tana, Tevish, Hulk, you know. Yes, it has the sac outlet as Tevish, but I feel like it's just a little bit too slow. Yeah. Adam, I think you want to talk about the Tevish Yoshi.
Yeah. I was just going to touch. So there's a few lists that didn't make it outside of what we mentioned, right? There's Aurelia. There's Jaxus. There's Mimeoplasm Hermit Druid. There's Yoshimaru Tevish. All lists that we touched on a lot in our last episode, talking about how some of these are very interesting commander pairings, but they may not just be viable. Jaxus is one we talked about a while or a lot, that it was a really cool list that just was too unique or too cute maybe in some respects. And then like Yoshimaru Tevish is a deck that I think is for like one, like a Tevish deck, it is probably like a very viable iteration of it. But Yoshimaru doesn't really offer a lot of advantage out of the command zone besides the few draw threes that you get for casting it for low CMC. But if you're not dedicating the legendaries to make Yoshi like a considerable piece out of the command zone, it doesn't really help you in any way. So I can see why most of these decks got removed, right? One that I have trouble seeing though is Yeva. So the reason why we saved Yeva for last is because Yeva is a deck that has historically performed well in CDH. And it's historically performed well in tournament CDH specifically, taking down a recent tournament, recent online tournament not that long ago. And to see it being removed from the database is kind of alarming because it's definitely unique, right? I think that like something that a lot of people have said is that Yeva can sometimes be considered like a bad version of all the other mono green decks that exist because it plays the same combos as all those green decks, but except it plays them at fast speed. And if you don't have Yeva out, then it's just those same decks, but without the combo piece in the command zone. So it does lend itself to some interesting play patterns and really hinges on Yeva as a strategy. But as we've seen from its results, that doesn't seem to stop it from winning games. So seeing it taken down here is really alarming, specifically because it is one of the more popular decks in the community. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I felt it weird because I get the DDB's reasoning as well, because like the other green decks, like let's take Yisan for example, it tutors out the pieces. All Yeva does is make you play at flash speed, which is, you know, useful sometimes, not all the time. And yeah, but it sucks because I thought Yeva was a like really good deck. Good mid-range. Green has a lot of like silver bullets, I guess you would call it. Like if you land a collector oof against like certain decks, you have enough time to begin to accumulate not like the dorks or like board advantage something. So I don't know. I just had to see it go. I thought it was really well built deck.
No, I thought so too. I thought that Ink Moth and Mr. Rainbow and all the people that spent a lot of time on the list really did do that. They spent a lot of time on the list. So it is unfortunate to see that deck not make the database. But if I could give any advice to those guys, it would be don't give up, keep trying, and try not to let this one take you down, because I think that your deck is viable. And as we say a lot of the times, like the database isn't the end-all be-all to CDH. So just because your deck isn't on there doesn't mean that it's not good enough, right? So, but it is unfortunate to see.
Yeah.
And then that is it for decks that were removed from the Brewer's Corner. And then finally, there were a bunch of archived lists that were just removed from the DDB in general. And with those archive lists, this is a little bit more Interesting, because a lot of these lists were removed, like the entire strategy was removed in general, right? So like Momir Hackball, right? There is now not any Momir Hackball lists on the database at all. That has been removed completely. Same with Yennet Pyr. Yennet Pyr is a commander that we've been like highly critical of being on the database for a while. That deck is just completely gone in general. Then the rest of the lists that were archived from the database were simply not updated in time, so updated within that 6-month time frame, or were requested to be removed by the author. Unfortunately, the way that this list is set up now, we don't have the knowledge of what lists were removed by the author and which lists weren't updated. In previous updates, they've given us that information, but in this update, they have not. So we'll just go down the list of the decks that have been removed and just kind of give a brief little discussion about them.
Sure. I'll do like group of three and then we'll talk about it. So I'll start with Anaj Madness, Bergy Storm, Ikra Rog, or Ikra Jeska. Yeah, Ikra Jeska.
Yeah. Sorry, this one was listed on the database as Ikra Jeska Rograk Turbonaz. And that's because you could play Ikra with either Jeska or Rograk and still play Turbonaz.
Okay. I was like, what the?
What? Yeah. Ange is a deck that I'm not very familiar with at all. Do you know anything about Ange?
Yeah, it's a World Gorger. It's the one with tap, discard a card, draw a card. But if you discard a card with Madness, untap it. So you just go, and you just discard Madness cards. So you just discard World Gorger Dragon, draw your deck. Or is it? Yeah.
Interesting. Bergy Storm is a deck that I think that was really... I know a lot of people love that deck.
Yeah.
I know it's like a really fun deck to play. And I know that like Drake Sasser is someone in the community who's like absolutely all over Bergy. But I think that a lot of people consider it not like it's not the best mono red deck that you could be playing, but like mono red Manual Storm is pretty fun. It is. And then with Ikra Jeska or Ikra Rograk Turbonaz, I can see a lot of these lists being lists that are just like they were good to color piles for a while. And nowadays, they're just not competing at the level that some of these other lists are competing at. If that makes any sense.
Is like the whole... Or the... They still have the IROG, which is another
version. So like I already listed the two lists that they removed the entire archetypes of. Every other list that we're going through, they still exist in some right. These are just certain lists that were on the TDB but got removed.
I got you. I'm so just like, saying that Ikra Rog's still a pretty good strategy, even though it got removed.
Oh yeah,
at least got removed.
Yeah, most of these lists that you're going to see that got removed are mostly removed because they hadn't been updated, right? Like the next three that we're going to go into, like Jeska Ishai Murderbird, Kell's Consult Scepter, and Kenrith Stax, all three of those decks still exist all over the database. These three in particular got removed because they either weren't good enough, right, or weren't updated enough. Like Jeska Ishai Murderbird is the list that I run, and it was FAMG's list, and it was a... more turbo breach focused version of Jeska Ishai. Like that's still very viable. Like I went to a tournament, took 27th place with it, right? Like it's not a bad deck, but if you're not keeping up to date with it, it's not going to survive on the database.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that. Kell's Consult Scepter, Kenrith Stax, both still really good decks. Just, you know, I think that either these archetypes are being abandoned by the list curators or that the reviewers think that there's better iterations of those lists that exist.
Yeah. Some other stuff Kenrith Storm, Kodama, Sagashima, Korval Turbonaz. I know, Adam, you had a few thoughts about Kodama Sakashima. I know that you were like kind of big on it originally when it first popped up at the tournament, and then it kind of like petered out.
Yeah, Kodama Sakashima is a deck that hinges on your opponents playing stacks pieces in order for your deck to work properly. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just going to lose to the other decks at the table. It took down a tournament, and it was really impressive when it did do that. But outside of that, it had performed historically not well. So it's interesting. Like, I think that this is a list that probably got removed because its viability has been shot down. I know that there are still a Kodama Sakashima list that does exist out there, but I think that as the meta starts to shift in the future, you're going to see less and less of these types of lists being played. And I think that that can be like them being removed from the database, whether it's by the brewers not updating them or by the reviewers not thinking that they're viable enough. Like, that's very telling of where these lists are going in certain directions, right? Kenrith Storm, I think it's like five color storm. I think that it falls into the trap of certain other strategies are just better, right? Like a low color storm strategy that's more focused is probably a lot better than a five color strategy where you're forced inherently to play just good stuff pieces, right?
Yeah.
Comparatively to other decks, like a, like what's the best storm deck in the meta right now? Probably Karkashima, right?
Yeah.
So, just things like that you have to consider.
And then Korval Turbonaz. Why would you play Turbonaz when you can play Dockside, like Treasure Storm?
I think, yeah, Korval Treasure Storm is just performs way better than Korval Turbonaz. And then the last five decks to get archived from the main DDB is Kroxa, World Gorger Dragon, Momir Hackball, Rograkh, Thrasios, Polytyrant, Sisse, Five Color Tutors, and Urza Polymorph. These are all lists that have like three or four versions of the same list that already exist on the database. So I don't think that losing one list
really changes anything.
No, I don't think so at all. A lot of these lists are still performing at like the highest level. So I don't think that you're going to... I think that what the database is doing here is by removing these lists for that aren't being updated at a time is they're saying like, hey, we're only going to showcase the most dedicated brewers and the people that really care about this type of archetype, as opposed to just like letting seven copies of the same list end up on the database. And then it gives people an excuse in the future to not agree with database decisions, right? And I think that's something that they're trying to avoid. So I think that a strategy like this is a good one to implement.
Yeah, when trimming the fat goes wrong.
Yeah, and I think that we will touch on that just for a second here before we move on to the end of this episode, is like, what are our opinions on the database at this point? I think that our opinions have definitely changed from the last episode. I don't know if you'll agree with me. You can say your piece pretty soon here. But I think that like from our last episode, we have a lot more respect for the database itself and for the reviewers and the managers, especially since they've reached out to us and tried to clear up a lot of the misconceptions or ideas that we've had that maybe weren't always truthful, I guess, right? Like, we were just assuming things without actually knowing how things are operated or ran. I think in that same respect, I think that there's still a long way to go for the database. Like, some examples, right, is like, okay, we have three mono green decks on the database. You have Yisan, Morrowind, and Selvala, right? I think that Yeva is a very good deck and deserves a spot on a database of decks that are supposed to showcase what the format is, right? When you look at Mono Blue, you have Orvar, Twitch Control, Emry Artifacts, Arkham, Adaptive Combo, Azami Wizards, and Urza Polymorph. You have, one, two, three, four, five Mono Blue decks and three Mono Green decks. But Mono Green is historically one of the best mono colors that you could play in CDH. Yet you look on the database and you've got decks like Oaken and Zinder Split, right? It's the partner with is it Commanders that, to be fair, I've never fucking seen at a CDH table in my life. They are both five CMC Commanders. They are partners, and they flip coins, and they do a worse job at flipping coins than Quark and Sakashima. Yet Sinestra, who's the leader, the head manager for the database, is an author on the list. So, you know, I do still think that bias exists on the database, and I think that there are certain archetypes and lists that are underrepresented, and I think that there's still some flaws in the system. I don't think that it's inherently a bad system. I think that it's all that we have currently. But I do think as more data gets provided to the database, we'll see more things change. And what I mean by that is I think that eventually a proper database would be something that does utilize tournament data, right? How many decks make top 16? How many decks make top 4? What are the best decks historically in the meta? And I know that certain websites like CDH Guide and other resources are trying to implement those types of data to make something similar to, I guess, like how MTG Goldfish or other 60 card
like a stats website deck sites.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that that is eventually going to be where the database needs to shift, because I think as every update comes out and more people get into CDH and more people look at the database, there's going to be a lot more questions that come up and a lot more disgruntled members of the community for things like, why is this deck not on there? Why is this deck not viable? Why do you guys choose these cards over these cards? Or why do you think this, right? Like it leads to a lot of people being unhappy or feeling slighted. And I think that if the database wants to avoid that in the future, you're going to have to change into a more analytical sense. Unfortunately, we don't have enough data to support that, which I think is the biggest problem currently. But I'll let you kind of let me know what your ideas or opinions are of the database at this point.
I'll say a quick comment. I think that they should transition, or not transition, but add on like the stats portion to like tournament play, and then display what decks that are on the database, or like a different decks entirely in that whole stats portion. Because like as a 60 card player, I go in, okay, what's meta? What's tier one? What deck do I want to invest in? And then with that there, because it's a usable resource, everybody knows, CDH decklist database. Oh, it has stats now. What's tier one? Oh, Thrasios Temna. Cool. I'll buy these cards or start trading. So that's my thought on that. Thought on the database, I think that, you know, that they're trying. I think they've made some good, like, I wouldn't say leaps and strides, but I feel like they're at least trying to, like, explain themselves more, or at least I hear back from more people, like, oh, the database gave me reasoning, not just, oh, we cut this list because you didn't have this one card. They're like, oh, in this, like in this turbo strategy, you don't have Peer into the Abyss. So we decided based on other turbo strategies that this was a instrumental card in the deck. But I don't know. I think my opinion is, I wouldn't say the same as yours, but I think we're both on the same page that there's still a place to go, and like it hasn't been solved, I guess.
Yeah, like there's still room to grow, and eventually we'll get there, even if it's not right now.
But and don't get me wrong, they're doing a good job. Like I get it, like that it's they're doing it for free. I don't know if they get paid. I assume they're doing it for free.
No, nobody gets paid. Yeah, yeah. This is completely free. This is just I think it's good and healthy to give constructive criticism, right? Like this is a community driven project, and it's a blessing that they do this for the community and give people the opportunity to have this resource. But I do think that like they have goals in mind, and I think that the community has goals in mind. I think hearing from community members or other people what they think about or how they want to engage with the database is a good way to gauge like what improvements you should be making. So that's all that this is. You know, it's not me harping on the database or just trying to take 10 minutes to just shit on all these people that I appreciate, but more so just like, you know, I think there's still room to grow, but I think that they're headed in the right direction. And I think that that's a good thing to be aware of for sure. But other than that, I think we can start to close out this episode.
Sure.
Yeah.
I know that we talked ad nauseum.
Yeah, you had to squeeze one in there, right?
About the DDB episode covering our... What should we call it? Should we call this like the DDB update analysis series?
Yeah, part three. I think like that's what we've been calling it, right? So this would be the... What month are we in? The September. So this would be the September update and analysis. Yeah, 2022.
Cool. I know we've been talking ad nauseum again about the DDB, but I feel hopeful that with like the more publicity, I know from our last episode, it like I wouldn't say a lot of traction, but a lot of people watched it, and one of the managers reached out to us and was like, "Hey, I'm here to, you know, say some cover up some or not cover up some things, but shed some light on."
I'm here to hide.
No. But he was here to like shed some light on some like the inner workings, which was good conversation starts, I guess, and hopefully that can lead to more. So Adam, you want to say what we have going on?
For our cleanup, a reminder is that next weekend is the Chaos 4 tournament, and you guys should all really sign up today. The prize pool is valued at over $1,000, and it's being sponsored by us. I even got like some of the cards here for the tournament. So our goal is to get like 200 people to enter, and I think currently the signups are at 120. Yeah. So remember that signup deadline is September 10th before the players' meeting. So yeah, I think the players' meeting starts at 10 o'clock. So you have 10 a.m. Eastern on September 10th to sign up. It's totally free and proxy friendly, so why wouldn't you join, right? Or at least tune into it on Saturday to watch me and Kian cast the games live on Chaos's Twitch stream. For those of you that haven't already joined our Discord, seriously, we have said it like 1,000 times, come in and join. We pride ourselves on being one of the more community-driven content groups, and we love the feedback that we get from our Sadnaws family. And finally, make sure you drop a comment and leave a review. That helps us to bring new people to the channel and helps us to continue to reach those new audiences through the algorithm. Thanks, and we'll see you on the next one.
See ya.